If you were here for our Senior Saints meeting in the month of May, a few weeks ago, you know that when I shared the devotion, I used these same two verses from the book of Proverbs chapter 3 for just a few thoughts that night. Verse 6 in Proverbs chapter 3 is a wonderful promise from God. The last part of that verse says, "He shall direct thy paths." And I pointed out that night, as I'll point out again tonight, that the paths we walk in our life are the different roles that we play in our life. And so the men that are here tonight, you, if you're married, you play the role of a husband. If you have children, you play the role of a father. If your mom and dad are still alive, you still play the role of a son. You have friends, so you play the role of a friend. If you still work, you play the role of an employee. And if you have brothers or sisters, you play the role of a brother. And again, a lady here tonight that's married, she plays a role of a wife. If you have children, you play the role of a mother. If your parents are still alive, you play the role of a daughter. You have friends, so you play the role of a friend. If you work, you play the role of an employee. And if you have brothers and sisters, you play the role of a sister. And again, I've just mentioned a few. There's many roles that we play in our life that make up our life. And what God promised in the last part of verse 6, he says, I'll direct you in those paths, or I'll direct you in those roles that you play in your life. I'll tell you what to do. I'll tell you what how to do it. Doesn't mean that there won't be problems. Even though God will direct, he doesn't promise that he'll make the problems go away. I used the verse this morning. The Bible says, in this world there shall be tribulation. There will be trouble in this world. And we experience it in different ways, at different levels of severity, at different stages of life. And we all have tribulation. But Jesus said, take comfort, because I've overcome the world. There's a promise in the Bible that says, greater is he that is in you, the Holy Spirit who lives in each Christian, than he that is in the world, the devil. And so, as we play the different roles in our life, God makes the promise, says, I'll direct you. Now, I shared with the Sunday school class this morning as I was giving a little preview of my message. A few weeks ago, I just couldn't get to sleep. I had a lot of things on my mind. I got up and read my Bible for a couple of hours. I spent some time in prayer, and I still wasn't sleepy. And so I did something. I told Sunday school class this morning I wouldn't recommend yet you do this, but I did something anyway. I went into the living room and turned on the television. Now, you have to understand, I don't have a rabbit ears. I don't have an antenna, and I don't pay for TV service. So everything that I watch on the television is something that my daughter subscribes to Netflix. And so anything I watch on the television is commercial-free, that's pre-recorded. And so, you know, that's all I watch. And so I was just looking through the different things, and I found a special about Ron Howard. Now, most of you know Ron, well, some of you don't know because you're too young, but Ron Howard started working as an actor when he was 4 years old. He played Opie Taylor, and again, some of you young people have no idea what I'm talking about, but you oldies do. He played a little boy in the town of Mayberry to Sheriff Andy Taylor, and you probably, if you know anybody, you probably know Barney Fife, the deputy in the town that carried a gun that only had one bullet that he carried in his pocket. But Opie was Ron Howard as a little boy. He grew up, and the next thing that some of you may know him, if you don't know him as Opie, he played Richie Cunningham on Happy Days. Tom Bosley played his dad, and he had a sister and a mom, and, you know, Arnold's the Al that ran. First, there was, a Japanese guy that ran the diner, and, of course, you might remember the Fonz and all that other stuff. But that he played that role of Richie Cunningham. And then when he grew up, he became a director. And this special that I watched that night was, and again, it was recorded several years ago. And he was up, he was being nominated as the director for a film that he directed called A Beautiful Mind. And I tell you the truth, I don't know if he won an Oscar for that film or not, or how he finished. I don't know anything about him as a person. I don't know if he he's a Christian. I don't know if he believes in God. I mean, you know, I liked him when he played little Opie. I hope he knows Jesus as his Savior. I hope he's going to heaven. But I have no idea what kind of relationship he has with God. And so I'm not holding him up as somebody we ought to pattern our life after. But I just want to use some of the things that he talked about in being a director of a movie and apply it to this verse. God says, I'll direct your past. I'll direct your different roles. And so he says, you know, my job as a director, and I'm going to put it in my own words, and I'm going to condense what was an hour discussion of what it was to be a director to about 5 minutes. He said, my job as a director is to control everything that goes on the movie set. The actors report to the director. I mean, even though he has directed several big-name stars, they still take orders from him as the director. He has complete charge of the film that he is directing. And so, for example, I mean, they have a script and that they go by, and they have lines in the script, but the director actually directs them on when to say what they're supposed to say, how they say what they're supposed to say, the voice inflection that they use when they say it, the body language that they use when they're delivering the line. You know, are they standing in the right position, or in relationship to the background, in relationship to each other? He made the statement. He said, sometimes we'll reshoot a scene just because somebody's body language isn't right. They deliver the lines in the right way, and the timing's right, and the pitch of their voice is right, but their body language doesn't go along with what they're saying to get the message of that scene across. And so he said, I'm responsible as the director to have them back up and do it again. And so he's the one that interprets for the actors how they're supposed to feel, the feeling that they should give off as they act out that part. And so again, just to make a long story short, he basically says, I'm responsible for everything that happens on that set. I'm responsible for giving all the actors directions, again, as to when to come out, when to go in, what to say, how to say it, the body language they use, the facial expressions they use. Everything that happens as they play that part in the movie, I'm responsible for, and I tell them, I instruct them, I direct them how to do it. And he covered the reasons why a director has that authority. He says, as a director, it's your picture. Now, you work for a studio, and the studio raises the funds, and they provide the equipment, but it's the director that actually owns the film. They owns the story that they're trying to tell in the film. Second of all, he says, we're responsible for the outcome. Yes, the actors in some cases get credit for the film. They win trophies and different things as they act out the film. But as the director, we're responsible for how it comes out. And, you know, he went into some detail about the financial aspects that doesn't really go along with what I'm trying to say tonight, so I'm not going to cover that. But he said, we're responsible for the results of the film. And he said this. He says, we know how we want the picture to come out. We know what we want the end of the story to be. We know the message that we want to get across as we tell the story. And so everything that we do to direct the roles of the actors, we do to accomplish the storytelling that we want to do, to make the points that we want to make as we tell that story. So again, he said, as a director, I'm responsible for the outcome. I know the story that we want to tell. And the actors' jobs, even though he said in many cases they make more money than I do as an actor as opposed to directing the film, their responsibility is to follow my lead. Their responsibility is to obey my instructions. I'm the one that gives the instructions. Their responsibility is to obey my instructions. Now, the same thing is true, I would submit to you tonight, and this is what got me going, brings me back to a verse that I gave a devotion on just a few weeks ago, to Proverbs chapter 6. God is our director. He says, I will direct your path. We play the roles. Again, I mentioned some of those roles. A role as a husband, a role as a father, a role as a grandfather, or a role as a brother. But and so we play the roles. But just like an actor that's in a movie takes direction from the director, so we, as playing the roles that God has given us to play. And by the way, God picked you for the roles that you play. He put you exactly in the roles that he wanted you to play. You're not a husband by accident. You're a husband because God wanted you to be a husband. You're not a wife by accident. God put you in that role. You're not parents by accident. God selected you for those roles to play. Every role in our life, every path in our life, using the words of Proverbs chapter 6, we are put on that path. We are put in that role by God. And he says, I'll direct you in those roles. Now, he has the right to direct us, first of all, because we belong to him. We belong to him. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. I'm speaking to Christians tonight. We are bought with a price. And the roles that God has for us to play, and we've been talking about in Sunday school. A lot of people say, well, I have this role, and I have this role, and we divide it into different compartments in our life, and we say the role I play over here doesn't affect this role, and it doesn't affect this role. And God said, no, no, no. Every role in your life should be impacted, and as we're talking about in Sunday school, transformed by a relationship with Jesus Christ. By relationship with God. Every role that we play, we're there because God put us there, and we belong to him. We are not our own. We are bought with a price. And God, listen to this, God is responsible for how the story of our life comes out if we're obedient. If we're obedient. If we're obedient to God, I'm not responsible for the results of the role I play in life. I'm taking my instruction from the director, and it's the director that's responsible for how my life comes out and the roles that I play in my life, how they come out. If I'm obedient. If you're obedient. And he knows how he wants the story to come out. He knows what the final scene is going to look like. He knows that when we get to the end of our life and people talk about us at the end of our life, God knows how he wants that story to come out. Listen, you and I don't. We don't know how God wants our life to come out. We don't know. We can't see the end of the story like he can. We don't have a script that we can flip ahead and see how it's supposed to come out in every area of our life. But God does. God does. And he knows the story he's trying to tell through our life. We're the actor, so to speak. He's the director. And so we just need to be obedient to him. When he says to come in, we come in. When he says to go out, we go out. When he says for us to say something, we say it. I believe that God will direct us down to the detail of putting the very words in our mouth with what he wants us to say. I believe that God will go down to the very detail of having the voice inflection and having the body language and the things that go along with communication. I believe God's involved in the very detail that if we'll listen, he'll direct us to that detail. He will. And so every role that we play, and again, you just think about the roles that you play in life. Every role that we play, God knows how he wants the story to end. He knows how he wants the story to develop. He knows what happens at each part, at each segment, so to speak, of the story. And if we listen and if we're obedient, he'll direct us in those roles. He'll direct our paths. Now, that promise in the last part of verse 6, he shall direct thy paths, or he shall direct thy roles, is a conditional promise. Oh, and by the way, let me say, putting in my analogy, God wants you to win an Oscar. In the roles that you play, he wants you to succeed. He wants you to come out on top. He wants you to be a success. And again, he's the director. We just need to listen and be obedient. But that promise in the last part of verse 6 is a conditional promise. You know, most of God's promises are conditional. They're conditional. God says, I'll promise you this if you do this. We're saved by a conditional promise of God. The condition is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God promises me, thou shalt be saved. Conditional promise. We pray by conditional promises. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me. That's the condition. We got to call unto God. We got to pray. And his promise is, I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. Just think about that. What a wonderful promise that is. God says, I've got things that I want to give you, that I want to bless you with, and you have no idea what they are. All you got to do is call. All you got to do is pray, and I'll show you those things that you know us not. So what's the condition in Proverbs 3:6? The first part of the verse, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. Now that word ways and paths are basically the same word. The word ways also talk about the roles that we play in life, the parts that we play in life, all the roles that we mentioned a minute ago, a father, a mother, a husband, a wife, a brother, a sister, an employee, a friend, all those roles. God says, I want to direct you in those roles, and I'll do that if you, in every one of those roles, will acknowledge me. Acknowledge me. Now, what does it mean to acknowledge God? Simply this. You play those roles. You play those parts knowing that there is a God. Amen. That there is a God. That he is omnipotent, all-powerful. That he is omniscient, all-knowing. And that he is omnipresent. He is present. And a Christian, he never leaves us or forsakes us. He's always there. And that he is God. I acknowledge God in every role that I play. I acknowledge that this is his book. This is his word. This book doesn't just contain the word of God. It is the word of God. Everything in here, as Kelly testified a moment ago, is here for my edification. I don't need any other book. I appreciate what Brother Ray said about the library, and I think we ought to read other books to encourage us and to inspire us. But we ought to spend more time in this book than we do any other book. Because every answer that we need, every problem that we have, there's a solution in this book. And so I acknowledge him when I say, I in every role of my life, I know there is a God. I know that he will direct me in this role. I can get a lot of that direction from the book that he's already given me. I acknowledge that. I acknowledge that the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. That part of God has taken up residence in me when I got saved. That the Holy Spirit will never leave me. The Holy Spirit is my guide. The Holy Spirit is my counselor. The Holy Spirit is my encourager. The Holy Spirit is my picker-upper when I am down. The Holy Spirit is everything that I need from God. I acknowledge God when I acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life. Now listen. If you and your wife don't talk, one of you is going to get mad pretty soon. Aren't you? Jack, if you never talk to Janice, pretty soon she's going to get upset about that. I mean, she may like it for a while, but after a while she ain't going to like it anymore. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. The Holy Spirit indwells us. And yet most of us don't acknowledge that the Holy Spirit even exists. He goes with us everywhere we go. Everything we think, he knows. Everything we say, he hears. Everything we do, he sees. So he's with us. And I acknowledge God in the roles that I play as a father and as a grandpa and as a pastor. I acknowledge him when I recognize that the Holy Spirit is available to help me. So God says, you acknowledge me in all your ways. That's the condition. And I will direct your paths. I'll direct your roles. I know how I want the story to come out. I know how I want it to develop. I know what I want to happen along the way. And God says, I want you to win an Oscar. I want you to play this role exactly the way I want you to play it, so that your life story will come out exactly the way that I planned for it. Let me close tonight by just mentioning four different acts of acknowledgement. If we acknowledge him, he will direct our paths. If we acknowledge him in all our ways, he will direct our paths. The first act of acknowledgement that any person can do is to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's the greatest acknowledgement of God that a lost person can do, is to realize they're a sinner. And as God spells out in his book, there's a penalty for that sin, that Jesus Christ paid the penalty. As he hung on Calvary's cross, God laid on him every one of our sins. And as he paid the price for our sins on Calvary, he's able to offer to every person the gift of life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I acknowledge God when I say I believe in Jesus Christ. I acknowledge God when I say I know I'm a sinner and there's a penalty for that sin. And Jesus, I need a Savior. I'm asking you to save me. I acknowledge God when I receive Christ as my Savior. Number two, I acknowledge God as I submit my will to his. You see, God has a will for our entire life, every compartment of our life, every role in our life. And I acknowledge God when I realize and I confess that I know God has a will for every area of my life, and I'm going to submit my will to his. You see, all of us have wills. I'm not talking about that instrument where you pass down your wealth. I'm talking about that desire that you have in your life, that thing that you want to do, that thing that you want to accomplish. All of us have wills. In some areas of our life, our wills are very strong. In some other areas of our life, our wills are so strong that we become stubborn. In some areas of our life, we resist the will of God for that area of our life. And again, the Holy Spirit and God will never, ever force his will on us. But his will is always best. His will is always best. And I acknowledge God when I say, your will for this area of my life is better than mine. And so I submit my will to yours. I acknowledge God when I say that. I acknowledge God, number three, when I am obedient to the commands in this book. This book, as I've mentioned several times before, is not like a smorgasbord. You cannot go through this book and pick and choose. You cannot go through this book and pick out the things that you would like to do and ignore the things that you would not like to do. We need to take the whole counsel of God. And God, as we are obedient, God will reveal more. As we obey the commands that we come across in this book, God will reveal more of those commands to us. And I acknowledge God the more obedient I am to the commands that he's given me in his word. The little children sang this morning, obedience is the very best way to show that we believe. Doing exactly what the Lord commands, doing it happily. Action is the key. Do it immediately. Joy you will receive. Obedience is the very best way to show that we believe. And then number four, we acknowledge God when we are dependent on Him. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. Give us this day our daily bread. And we talked about how hard it is some of the time when we have food in the cupboard and food in the freezer and money in the bank to be dependent on God. I would remind you tonight, every good and perfect gift cometh from the Father above. And everything we have in store, God could wipe out with just a thought. I pray that He would not do that. I pray that we would realize that we are dependent on God. And the more that we realize that we are dependent on God, the more blessed we will be. The Bible says without faith, without being dependent on God, it is impossible to please Him. The more we depend on Him, the more we will please Him, and the more we acknowledge Him as God. So let me ask you a question as I close. Who is your director? Who's your director? You play these roles. You were selected for the roles that you play by God. He makes a promise. If we acknowledge Him, He'll direct us. So I ask you again, who's your director? God wants to be, and He'll direct us. But, and Ron Howard talked about this. He said, you know, I've directed some films where the actor just couldn't get it. They disagreed with me. They wouldn't convey the story in the way that I wanted it conveyed. And the guy that was interviewing him said, well, what did you do, Mr. Howard, in those cases? He said, I had to fire the actor. It's my story. I want to tell the story. If the actor doesn't go along with how I want him to tell the story, I can't tell my story. I got to get rid of him. So I fire him. Sometimes we're stubborn. Sometimes we don't want to submit our will to God's will. And here's what we say. God, in this area of my life, I don't want you to be my director. I'll be my own director. I'll direct myself in this role. And God gives us the right to do that. It's a pretty stupid choice. It's a pretty foolish choice to say. And most of the time when we direct ourselves, you know what we're being influenced by? We're being influenced by the world. And we're being influenced by Satan. When we say, I want to direct this area of my life myself, we're being influenced by the world and we're being influenced by Satan. And we'd be a lot better off to say, God, You're my director. You're my director. I acknowledge You in every role of life that I play. I want You to direct me in that role. You know how You want the story to come out. I don't. And so I'm going to be obedient to You. I'll take my orders from You. I'll submit my will to You. You're in charge. Let Him be your director. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for tonight. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for this precious promise that You give us in this verse in Proverbs. Help us in every area of our life to acknowledge You. And then, Father, let You direct every role that we play in life. I pray, Holy Spirit, if there's somebody here tonight that's never acknowledged God by getting saved, that they'd understand tonight they're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin. Jesus paid the penalty, and if they'd trust Him, He'd give them eternal life. I pray for the many Christians that are here. Father, help us to examine who our director is. And if there's some area in our life that we're still trying to direct ourselves, help us to submit our will to Yours tonight. And let You be our director. Just bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.